In Psalm 138, beginning at verse 1, it says, I will praise thee with my whole heart before the gods, small g, notice. I will sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Father, I ask in these next few minutes as we meet together, would you guide my tongue to be able to speak clearly and guide our thoughts to the importance of your word. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. I will praise thee with my whole heart. In a few minutes, we're going to be having some singing for the morning service. And David says, I will praise thee with my whole heart before the gods, small g, the gods of this world. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. When we sing this morning, have you gotten into the same kind of routine that I fall into every once in a while? Okay, turn in your songbook to such and such, or up on the screen, we're gonna be singing this song. And okay, I know that one. I'm gonna sing it. I'm gonna sing it without thinking about the words. I'm not wholehearted about it. David uses the word about being wholehearted 30 times in the book of Psalms. So David was one of those guys. He got a hold of who God was. I don't know how he learned so much about God other than going over to the temple and everything, but he gave us not just a lot of music there in the book of Psalms, but he knew a lot about God, that as he's a shepherd boy out on the side of a mountain or hill someplace, he must have spent an awful lot of time dwelling over the things that he heard preached in the synagogue to get to know about God and to think about things. You ever notice how every once in a while you're reading your Bible and you say, I never noticed that in the Bible before. Or pastor will preach on something and you say, I never thought about that. I saw the word provoke the other day and I thought, I wonder how many times the word provoke is in the Bible. Now, I know about provoking. I've been married for 48 years. I know how to provoke. But there's a good provoke also, that we're supposed to provoke one another unto good works and things. So I looked up all the times that the word provoke was in the Bible. I think David, out on the side of the hill, whether he had his little stringed instrument was out there making up songs or how that was going, that he dwelt and spent a lot of time thinking about who God is. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Not to pick on her. Mrs. Beckwith was walking around after breakfast and singing, "This little light is mine. I will let it shine." Well, she was singing it quietly. She wasn't necessarily singing it loudly and wholeheartedly, but it was in there. It was in there. I have a tendency to walk around whistling, which is not well accepted over in Eastern Europe. For whatever reason, they think that whistling stirs up the demons. What? Whistling stirs up my heart. Whistling stirs up my mind. You know, so I will walk around whistling, and if we've got the grandkids over, I've discovered if I walk around the house whistling a song or even singing a song, it's not but 5 minutes, and the grandkids have picked it up, and they're doing the same thing. It's sowing those seeds to be able to try not only to help me focus on the day, but to help encourage the grandchildren to think about spiritual things also. So David says, I will praise thee with my whole heart. I'm going to be listening to our singing this morning to see if we are sounding wholehearted when we're singing. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple. Cheryl and I had the opportunity about 6 years ago. We were in, we had done a campaign, a literature distribution campaign in Budapest, Hungary. And before we went over there, the missionary said, do you realize it's only cost $75 round trip from Budapest, Hungary to Jerusalem? Well, Cheryl's wanted to go to Israel ever since she's been saved. And I said, it'd be a nice place to go. It's not a high on my bucket list. I'm going to make it there someday, but I don't really care. It was some of the best money we ever spent. I say They still use shekels over there. I mean, just like you read about in the Bible. That is their currency. We got there and my Bible opened up. We went to the Sea of Galilee. We saw they have replicas of the small fishing boats, which are from about that pew to, let me see, probably to about this pew. They're about that long, but they're not very wide. They look to me like they'd be kind of tippy, especially if you had a big net full of fish, but they have that. We saw where Jesus preached to the 5,000 on the hillside. And as we traveled and went to city after city and little town after town, now when I read my Bible, I can picture it. It was some of the best money that we ever invested. Have you folks been there? You need to get there before you get so old that you can't walk the hills and the stairs. It is fascinating. And again, it opens up your Bible. Here it says, I will worship toward thy holy temple. So we're there, I don't know, we've been there probably about 3 days, and we're coming back from the north up by Capernaum, and we're on the equivalent of the thruway out here, only it was four lanes on each way. And all of a sudden, cars are stopping and pulling off to the side of the road, and everybody's getting out of the cars. And I thought, okay, we don't have news on, so has something happened or whatever. And but as we slowed down to watch them, they were all getting out, and they were put their little head coverings on if they didn't have them on already, and they faced toward the temple, and all got out and started praying. They still do that. Now, to me, that was a aha moment, traveling today. But I wish we had something like that in America today. It seemed like we have gotten so cold and so indifferent about spiritual things that it's hard to get people to sit down and listen. It's hard to get people to sit down and talk about God. And we have 5 children, all married, and we've got 17 grandkids. And our children are doing a good job with our grandchildren, and they've got them all in good independent Baptist churches and everything like that. The kids are kids. I see it in my children. I see it in my grandchildren. The things of the world have a precedence so many times over spiritual things. That it was a joy and a delight here. We had 4 of our grandkids over about a week before we left on our campaign over the Ukraine, and one of the grandkids said, "Papa, we are going to do devotions tonight before we go to bed." That warmed my heart. That caused me to realize, okay, at least one of our sets of kids is spending some time in the Bible teaching the children. I will worship toward thy holy temple. Very visible thing that they do three times a day, similar to the Muslims. I wonder where the Muslims got it. Anyway, byword. And praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. The importance of his word. It's through the name of Jesus that we get saved. And he says, I put my word above his name to the place where I just looked up a handful of verses. Psalm 119, verse 105. His word is a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path. His word, Psalm 119, verse 89. He hath forever settled in heaven. Psalm 33, verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. Just by speaking out, but that's the same power that he gave us his word by. 1 Peter 1:25. The heavens and earth shall pass away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. Isaiah 40, verse 8, which is, you've got right there as you come in the door to the right. Isaiah 40, verse 8. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of the Lord standeth forever. I don't know exactly what's going to happen up in heaven. I've heard some interesting preaching that when we get up to heaven, we're all going to have a big family greeting, and then we're going to sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and then after the marriage supper, then we're going to go over, and Jesus is going to start in the book of Genesis and walk us all the way through the Bible. Well, it makes for great preaching, but I don't know if that's exactly what's going to happen. But I know that his word is settled forever in heaven, and whether we're going to have some teaching and instruction time, I'm not sure what's going to take place. But he said, some things pass away, but my word will never pass away. It's with us forever. So I'm thinking that there's going to be worship up in heaven. I'm thinking that there may be some scripture reading or things that are going to take place. The importance of God's word. This lesson... I really miss my watch. When we're home on the first and third Wednesday of every month, we have Salt and Light. It's our seniors ministry. And so I'm encouraging them to read their Bible. We're all on a church Bible reading schedule. So I'm encouraging them every week or every other Wednesday to read their Bible. And so every once in a while, once every 5 or 6 times we get together, I'll actually bring a message about something that we just supposed to have read and everything. And we were coming up to the book of Ezekiel. Now, I've been in the ministry for 40 years, and I made a very foolish statement, and I said, who gets anything out of the book of Ezekiel? We got wheels inside of wheels. We got creatures that got eyes all over the place. I mean, who really gets anything out of the book of Ezekiel? And I kind of mocked and made fun of God's word and took it rather lightly. And it was just a short period after that that I decided to do a study on how many times did Jesus quote the Old Testament. Well, I found out that he quoted the Old Testament 78 times. He quoted from 15 different books: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Psalms, Proverbs, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Amos, Jonah, Micah, and Malachi. Job 23, verse 12 says, I have esteemed thy words, the words of his mouth, more than my necessary food. Hebrews 10:7 says, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God, which is taken from Psalm 40. And I had to go back and apologize to my class and say, look, I shouldn't have said what I did about who gets anything out of the book of Ezekiel. Larry doesn't, because Larry just reads through it. Larry didn't do any Bible study. Larry didn't do any research. Larry didn't say, well, I wonder what this is talking about. So I had to go back and apologize to them. And that's how I started looking at all the different verses that talk about the importance of God's word. That it not only is here, but it's going to be in eternity with us also. But it's also very important for life. Turn over to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. Very familiar passage of scripture if you've been in church for any length of time. It's all about the rich man and Lazarus and... you know, Lazarus was laying out there and had all the sores, and the dogs came and licked it and everything. And the rich man, he fared sumptuously every day. And here's the poor beggar. Well, they both die. And in Luke chapter 16 and verse 24, talking about the rich man, well, verse 23, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. I've actually done that. After reading that, I thought, okay, how much water? If you stick your finger in there, how much water actually drips off? You might get 2 drops. Might get 2 drops. Pretty desperate situation. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, Father Abraham, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. One of the things I got out of that is misery doesn't love company. How many times have you heard that statement? Misery loves company. Not in eternity. Not in hell. Verse 29, and Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went from the dead, one went unto them from the dead, they would repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. He said, they've got the Old Testament. To me, that says Scripture is more important than a miracle. The Word of God is more important than a miracle. And part of my thinking on that is, you ever read or heard somebody talk about, I died and I came back to life, and they'll talk about the things that they see. Okay. It never makes them more spiritual. They never go running about saying, there is something beyond this life, and you need to get saved, and you need to get in church. No, they just go wandering off. I don't know exactly what all takes place in all that. But here in this case, Jesus used the example of the Word of God, the Old Testament. If they won't listen to the Scripture, if somebody came from the dead, they wouldn't listen anyway. We have an example of that, of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. When Lazarus was raised from the dead, it talks about just shortly after that many people came to hear Jesus and to see Lazarus. We don't really hear about anybody getting saved. You don't hear about any spiritual growth. You don't hear about any great thing, because they came to see and to hear. But it was the same crowd that also, every time Jesus spoke, got mad at him and was trying to kill him. I am just amazed that all the times, an interesting study sometimes is read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all the times that Jesus would stand up and speak and try to teach them and tell them not only who he was and why he was there, they were ready to stone him. The word angry was in there, but I mean, they were wrath. They were filled with wrath. So he uses that example. Use the scripture. I do use part of my testimony. I didn't get saved till I was 31. We were, he's in the back now. I asked one of the men that at church here, I said, well, how did you get saved? Because he said he got saved at 21. I said, I was 31. 62 before God broke even on me. I mean, I'm 71 today. So I've had more years saved than I've had lost. But unfortunately, because I didn't get saved until I was 31, I've got a lot of bad stuff in the past. And unfortunately, that stuff never goes away. We can walk into a Walmart, and I will hear four notes on the music that I'm not even listening for. I'll hear four notes, and the song immediately comes back to me. That stuff never goes away. The importance. So I don't go into a lot of detail about what my life was like before I got saved, but I will use part of my testimony to talk about how God changed my life, how he put me on solid ground, how he put our marriage back together, for all the stuff that God did for us. Turn to 2 Peter. What time is it? 10:42. Okay, let's wrap up with this. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter. It was in here this morning. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eye witnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him on the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. To me, Peter is saying, we were up there on the Mount of Transfiguration and we heard God the Father speak from heaven. But we have something that's even better than hearing the Father speak from heaven. We have a more sure word to be able to read, to study. Back in Old Testament times, the only time that you got the scriptures was when you went to the temple. In New Testament time, they were doing portions of it because the Ethiopian eunuch, he had a portion of Isaiah that he was trying to read when he was in the chariot headed back home. So they did have smaller portions that they had started copying out that you could get. But today we don't have to wait to get to church to hear what Pastor's going to tell us about God. We have a Bible. Let me ask you, how frequently do you read your Bible? Or if you say, Larry, I read my Bible every day. Excellent. What do you get out of it? Don't get yourself in the sin. Who gets anything out of the book of Ezekiel? I read Old Testament and New Testament. I almost every day read out of Psalms and Proverbs simply because Psalms tries to sweeten me up a little bit most of the time, but Proverbs it's full of wisdom. If a lost man took the principles that are in Proverbs, he would become a successful businessman. It just gives us all kinds of wisdom. The importance of the Word of God. And so my challenge to you is, okay, because we have it, because we don't have to come to the church, we don't have to go to the temple, it's not locked up someplace where, okay, the back doors of the church are going to be open, but it's enclosed in a case back there, and so we can only read part of it. We've got the Bible. Let us finish strong. As the world continues to crash in around us, let us be this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. Let us be that shining light. I mean, one of the easiest ways to be a witness and a testimony to somebody is to say, you'll never guess what Pastor preached about Sunday at church. You'll never guess what I read about in my Bible today. They're talking about something and you say, you know, there's a verse in the Bible about that. Now, I can't tell you the chapter and verse anymore because that's all gone. But I can kind of misquote the verse because I didn't get to do a good job memorizing. But we have to on purpose bring stuff up. If you were here for the worship part where they're showing a video, I would love for a multitude of people to have seen just that short section that we watched. You talk about fearfully and wonderfully made versus, well, once upon a time there was this little creature that crawled out of the muck and the mire, and you know, after millions and millions of years, here we are, fearfully and wonderfully made. He gave us a word. Thank God. As frustrating as it is living in 2019, we have his word. We have the opera. Not only do we have his word, but he saved us. That to me, I mean, think of all the people that you know that still aren't saved. I mean, I've got 70-some classmates that out of a class, there's only 75 of us left right now. Five of us are saved in my class. We went to a class reunion here not too far back. 70 of the kids that I grew up with, the old people that I grew up with, they didn't get it. They've heard the same stuff that I did, that God opened my understanding to the place where I said, that's what I need, that's what I want, and I cried out to God, and he saved me, and he changed my life. I mean, they love to sit down at the table when we get together for a meal because, Larry, where have you been? It's an open door for me to not only tell them what countries we've been in, but for me to witness to my classmates. But they hear the same information that I tell other people, and they just, that is so interesting, and that's as far as it goes. God opened our understanding and picked and chose us, and we got saved. Thank you, Lord. That ought to cause us to sing wholeheartedly this morning in our worship service, in our song. It ought to cause us to be more earnest in prayer. It ought to cause us to, I want to read my Bible. I want to read my Bible. I want to hear from God today. Father, thank you for this time you've given to us to look at your word. Lord, would you guide and direct in our thoughts today? I don't know about anybody else in here today, but today's a football day, and my attention gets so easily dragged off into the things of the world and finding out how the Green Bay Packers did and how other football teams did. Lord, thank you for letting me start my day in good health and a sound mind in church, having read my Bible before I got here, but to focus and to start my day on spiritual things. Lord, may you be prevalent in my thinking the rest of today. Would you meet with us in the morning service? And Lord, give us a good time, not only in your word, but a good time of fellowship today with one another. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.